Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on another episode of our March Madness Bracket. We have a lot of exciting games coming up this weekend. We're recording this on Friday, so the women's games will be kicking off today and will inevitably lead to our final. But some interesting news happened, and this is related to college basketball. Bronny James, LeBron James' son, let us know that he essentially declared for the NBA draft, but he's also in the transfer portal. Now, what this means is he could basically leave USC to go essentially join any school that has space available for him if he would like. Or if he goes through the draft process, he can decide, yes, I want to enter the draft and, you know, follow on in my career from there. A long time ago, LeBron said that one of his dreams would be to share the court with his son. I think initially it started with even if we were on opposing sides, if he was on a different team. But then the storyline, and this is from LeBron, it kind of more leaned to it would be an amazing moment if we were both on the same team. This led everyone to think, well, anywhere Bronny James would end up, LeBron would naturally follow. And what made it more interesting was LeBron's contract with the Lakers is made up so that LeBron has a player option, which means he could basically just say, I don't want to continue my contract. I'm now a free agent. I can join any team I want. And that lines up with what would be the draft year of his son, Bronny James. This sounds incredible. And as a story for a father and a son, that just sounds amazing to share the court with your kiddo. I mean, that rarely happens in sports. But here's the part where it didn't go as planned. So Bronny, he suffered a heart condition.
Cardiac arrest.
Exactly. Cardiac arrest.
Terrifying.
So I would imagine it just takes a very long time for your body to recover from something like that. Even if it's stamina, muscle development, obviously your heart is a muscle that needs to be strengthened up as well. So I get that. There's always a but. Bronny was cleared by medical professionals. Says, hey, you're good to go. You've been working out. We have cleared you to play college basketball. Okay. Sounds great. Then his year at USC, it really wasn't that exciting. And they had a lot of talent. The team itself didn't win the Pac-12. They didn't qualify to even be in the NCAA tournament. Bronny James himself, his averages were about 5 points, two, three rebounds, 2, 3 assists. Really, it's not outstanding numbers, but I get it. He's coming back from a heart condition. My thing is that I can give him a pass on that, but it's still, we would expect him to have a lot more impact on the game, being so that he's had the best training in the world, the best coaches in the world. He has the greatest player, arguably, in history of basketball in the same home to coach him up, give him tips, work out. I think kids of these superstar athletes, they have so much pressure against them. And especially if their parents are just these dominant figures that are winning championships in their sports, it is unfair for us to assume that they can just hold up to that level that their parents had. And even then, the way their parents have developed, it was almost like this combination of these moments, a little bit of luck, if not maybe a lot of luck by their own accord, God-given abilities that created them to be so amazing at their sport. And I think it's just not the same formula, you know, in consecutive generations. And we kind of see that in other kids from superstar athlete parents. But now I think the expectations of him are just way too great. But I do wish him the best. I hope he has success in the league. And even NBA players themselves have said, like, even if you're a contributing member of an NBA team, that is incredible to even make it to that stage. It is absolutely incredible. And it's not fair to compare him or expect him to even get close to what his father has done. You know, the news broke. Every single media outlet is reporting on this. And one thing that caught my ear, or even my feed as I was playing through things, was Jeff Teague is on a podcast called the Club 520 podcast, and they talk about all kinds of things, but especially basketball and the NBA in general. And Jeff Teague mentions this point that I swear to you, I have mentioned this to Ellie months ago. essentially the moment LeBron made his statement where he would love to share the court with his son, you could kind of see the story written. Logically, the Lakers aren't going to have the highest of draft picks to get him early if a team was swayed enough to pick Bronny early to be able to pull LeBron James to their team. My mind immediately went to, well, the most natural path then would be for him to just not be drafted, and then he could immediately sign with any team, a la the Lakers. And then as I'm listening to the Club 520 podcast, Jeff Teague, there he goes, almost verbatim, mentions the exact same words. His thoughts would be he would expect him to go undrafted and sign with the Lakers. I'm just locking it in now at the podcast. So inevitably, maybe in next year's March Madness, we can talk about, you heard it here first. It did happen. Bronny went to the Lakers and the story was already written.
I promise you I'm not remembering this next year.
Maybe, and who knows, maybe Bronny somehow, some way is dominating with the Lakers. I don't see that happening, but miracles do happen. Moving on, and giving some praise to teams that have battled and survived a college basketball season on the men's and women's side. Every team in the Final Four, I mean, the storylines are just incredible. The players have been amazing, but our pool. And we're just going to start with the men's because the women's play today. They're probably going to get the majority of the time on this pod here today. But just to give everyone a layout of our current standings on the men's pool. To no surprise, the fact that we've eliminated Purdue so early, Ellie, we are seventh in the rankings in the men's bracket. At least
they're
in
not
our pool.
Making it.
They look really good. It's going to be a great game. And I think they have a chance to move on, but I am still saddened that we picked the University of Kentucky to go very far. There's a couple interesting storylines playing out. Lauren somehow is still number one, which is incredible. That is incredible, but Lauren did pick North Carolina to win it all. They have been eliminated. And right behind Lauren is TS. If UConn wins out, which we picked UConn to win out, TS would win the entire men's bracket.
Also, can I give a shout out to TS because they were a like quiet climbing of the ranks.
For sure, for sure. They had one moment where they were first very early. Mm-hmm. I think they dropped and then they kind of moved right back up. That is probably, if things play out that way, it seems like TS would win it all. It would essentially take, I believe, Purdue and UConn to lose this weekend for Lauren to win it all.
And we know Purdue's losing, so, you know, it's all up in the air still. No one knows.
Or excuse me, actually, the fact that, one moment. The fact that Lauren actually didn't pick them to move on. No, but it is in TS's bracket. So, yeah, it would take both of them to lose for Lauren to win out.
Also, shout out to Lauren for consistently being, like, top two. I feel like from game one, like always towards the top of the leaderboard. Great picks.
I don't know if Lauren's DM'd us, but Lauren M, by the way, I need them to just let us know what their history is in college basketball. Are they going off vibes or are they like a super fan who follows it very closely? Because the picks have been really good.
Yeah.
Now, just to knock out the top three is Shay. So congratulations to the top three. We still have not locked in what we will do for the winners and the losers, but still congratulations to the top three so far. It's essentially already locked in the losers spot, which would be Beth. Congratulations. You have essentially the lowest available points. Like your max points are locked in at 34. Congratulations to you.
Beth, you are still a winner.
Still a winner. Everyone that joined our bracket pool is a winner in
our
books.
That's right.
So thank you, Beth. But an early congratulations to you. But in a close second place to the last spot, or second to last spot, which would be Jennifer. So congratulations to you as well.
And then, of course, we have to discuss the mother-daughter duo. Just because now, like, I'm in it. I'm here for the household rivalry. Where do we stand?
It's not looking so good for one person. And Sophia, I have to say, I'm sorry.
No.
Sophia picked Houston to win. As most of you may know, Houston's point guard got hurt against the against Duke in like the first 8 minutes or the first half of the game, and it was essentially a bad ankle injury. He was out the rest of the game. Really throws off the flow of an offense. If you know, you guys are fairly knowledgeable of college basketball, I mean, that's your point guard, your main ball handler, sets up all the offense. Huge, huge bummer. As fans, we didn't really get the game we would have hoped for. So Houston was eliminated by Duke. But Sophia, still, thank you so much for playing along. Congratulations. But it seems like Sophia's spot is sort of locked in at 16, like right in the middle of the pack. And gotta give it up to mom, Laquita. In 11th, has UConn winning.
Okay.
So in that household, mom has the bragging rights, and it looks like they will win that little household battle. So congratulations to you. Now, moving on to the women's bracket. Most of you know that I am, by calendar year, I am a Leo, which is probably tell from my name, Leon. But Leos have this funny energy about, we're not like, I don't think we're alphas, but I mean, maybe, yeah. It's like, I mean,
yes,
maybe that is the definition, but
very competitive.
I don't see myself as an alpha. I do see myself as being competitive.
You're always the leader.
I don't think so.
What just happened at jury duty? You were one of the leaders.
But not all the time. There's moments where I will step back and listen more than I talk.
But you naturally, it's just how it gravitates. If you're in a group of people, that's just kind of how it flows.
Now, I'm making this so long-winded because I am basking in the glory for us in the women's bracket. Somehow, we are in first place.
It feels like a scam.
Us and a few other folks have picked UConn and Iowa to be at this point where they are now. So they'll be playing here in a moment. And on the other side, I think a lot of us, there were some upsets with Stanford losing and kind of broke up everyone's bracket. But almost, not almost everyone, but a lot of people had South Carolina either winning or going extremely far. We're in first with 100 points, a max of 164, which is honestly a very healthy max point. I think we have the highest max points available.
Wow.
The highest.
Also, I had no influence on these picks. Leon did it by himself, so fine, I'll admit it.
Now, I haven't done the math, and honestly, I'm not going to do the math because that's just way too complicated. But I don't know if Iowa wins and South Carolina wins and makes it to the final, but then South Carolina wins the final. I'm not sure the way the points are broken up, if everyone would just leapfrog us, or maybe that's enough, the fact that Iowa made it to the final, that we'd still win the pool. I'm not too sure. But everyone from the second spot to the fifth spot, that's including Laquita, Jennifer, TS, and Elise, they all pick South Carolina to win it all. I think, I would imagine if South Carolina wins it the way it's, the points are spread out, that being the championship game, is probably worth a ton of points. I would imagine they would all leapfrog us. A few other interesting points. I don't know if this is going to be enough to have them win it all, but Lauren M. does have NC State winning it all. They have an incredible challenge in South Carolina. I don't think they can do it, but if they do, that would be, I would be just amazed. And I think Lauren M. might just leapfrog everyone.
Okay.
I can't remember if Kiara already had this spot locked in, but Kiara S., the best of the worst, I guess, yes, is my good best job, definition. Kiara. The best of the worst. Kiara S. picked Alabama to win it all. Max points of 52, currently sitting at 36 points. So far, congratulations to you and good luck to everyone. But again, we haven't really decided what we'll do as far as rewards for top three, first place, last place, maybe everyone. Not too sure yet. Not locked in. But we are looking forward to the games. We've just been amazed at the coverage that the women's tournament has received, the level of coverage, the quality of the games, mm-hmm. the competitiveness, the sharpshooting, just the playmaking. We were privileged enough to go to, I think, like three. Yeah, we went to three games that were hosted on, or excuse me, at the women's Portland region. And we got to see players like Juju from USC, Paige from UConn. Seeing them in person, you got to see the quality of their play, how they not really command the ball, but like how they run their team, how they run their offense, how calm they are considering these are packed arenas and these are just young people, right? They're anywhere from 18 to 22, all the pressure's on them. There's, you know, 15 to 20,000 people in the arena and it's almost like they're not even fazed by it.
I was stressed watching these parents.
We got to see one moment where USC was down and it was back and forth. I believe this was USC versus Baylor. Terrible memory. But it's a turnover. Juju drives with the ball, does a little slight crossover, takes the bump, a little pause in the air for the and one. I mean, the crowd erupted. You can feel, you know, when you're being there, you could really feel how the energy changes from one team to another and how the crowd, even if you have, you know, a little bit of fans your way, a little bit of fans the other way, and then maybe a mix of people rooting just for college basketball in general, but you can feel how the energy switches in these big moments to your side and it really fuels your team to get a win. And I really felt that in that USC game.
Yeah.
More so than any other game that we saw, just my personal opinion. I think the fact that we got to see so many young women representing for their teams, it really gets me excited to watch the future of women's college basketball and to keep seeing the growth in that game. So once again, thank you so much for checking in to this podcast and March Madness. Wish you guys all the best, and we hope you enjoy the games this weekend.
We have to run off and go get our pizza. Get settled. I have ice cream. We're ready for these games. Take care, everyone. We'll talk soon.
Thank you all so much.